The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is August 24th, 2016. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Free book, Commit, Take Action. Also, too, Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner's Circle. Those are my two biggest products to date. Everything is done here on our premises. We write all of our own content, and they're two programs that are very easy to do, to digest. But you know what? It's like anything. You've got to take a shot on yourself, work very hard, commit to what you're doing, and take action. And that's the secret to doing anything. I don't care what anybody tells you. You have to want to have a system of excellence. And when you can navigate through those places, you're going to get somewhere. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and check all that out. Also, go out to MotivationandMuscle.com/category/podcast. Today we have Oud Hagen on with us. We did one show with him, I believe it was about a year ago or a little more than a year ago, and we're going to have him on momentarily. Go out and just check out the content from the first show. That was basically an introduction for anybody that doesn't know this gentleman. He gave us quite a bit of material, so we knew when we got him on the next time, we could go into a number of different things. And go out there and look at anybody. We have got the best of the best. We have more content than anybody on the planet, and we're going to get bigger and bigger. We are streaming now 24/7 as an internet radio show, and I have a meeting in 1 hour with one of the architects of what I am doing right now, and we are going to be making some big changes here again because I'm going to be on board with this woman named Ray. She's awesome. So check all that out, too. And I believe, I want to make sure, did I say everything? Yeah, I've got everything. Today we have Oud Hagen on. I'm sorry, I hope I didn't mispronounce that. And I want to give you a little information about this gentleman. He's a strongman, power lifter. Moss Wrestling he's very involved with. He's a promoter with that. He's a grip strength competitor. I love when they do that stuff. And also, too, he's a promoter for strongman. So, Oud, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, sir.
Thank you very much, Eric. Name is Oud. But don't worry, everybody pronounces it incorrectly. It's Oud.
Well, I won't do that because I like the name. I like the pronunciation of Oud better. It sounds better. Yeah. Anything? I know you've got websites. I know you got companies out there. Mention any of that. Mention anything you've got coming up that you're involved in. And we'll start right. And we're going to talk about. We're going to definitely talk about one thing, but the other is even bigger to me. The thinking process. We're going to really get the feel for this from Oud. Secondly, we might talk about the repairing of a bicep tear. He's had them. I've had them. That is very prevalent. I have a lot of people contacting us about this subject, and they're very interested because they're trying to find out as much material, whether they've had the injury or they hope that they never get an injury, and how do you prepare the biceps in the correct manner when you train, how you pull things, that hopefully you're never going to have a tear. So go ahead, sir. Anything you've got, add your website, anything that's going on.
Okay, very much, very busy right this moment. We have a big event at the Anaheim Convention Center. We're part of the Fit Expo Anaheim, where we have the Oud Hagen Strength Classes Classic, which is a feature amateur strongman competition as well as a team competition. First time we put on a team competition here in California, where we have four man woman team going against each other in different weight classes and so forth. We also have the grip competition there, and of course, we have Moss Wrestling Tournament. But more than that, we are preparing. I have a 12-man team, 12-man woman team, going to Kyrgyzstan on Tuesday. We're flying out on Tuesday to go and compete in the World Mass Wrestling Championship by weight classes. And there are 12 weight classes, 5 for women and 7 for men. And we are going to hopefully take a couple of medals back with us.
Yes, sir. I hope so. What about, I mean, I've been out to your website and stuff. Why don't you give everybody that out and anything else you got?
Okay, we have the website for mosswrestlingusa.com, and I have the, my own business site is called odhaugen.com, and then we have a training facility now called the Training Hall by Odie Haugen, which has a website, the traininghall.info. And
nice.
It's located here in Newbury Park, California. And we get people come to training from pretty wide-ranging places. We have courses in mass wrestling. We have classes in strongman and getting people introduced to the different events and learning how to do them. And we have powerlifting classes as well.
Nice. Before we get into the thinking process, there's something I want to ask you. We just said it briefly the other day before when we had a lot of internet problems. Now, we know Brian Shaw won again this year. And I've been out trying to find – I know Half Thor was second. There's not much I can find anywhere with listings of how it came. But what I wanted to ask you, I'm sure you know you've got your thumb on the pulse of a lot of this stuff. Was there anybody in particular either you – heard about or spoke with somebody directly that impressed either you or someone that's, you know, competing in this or has competed that we see could be an upcoming star in strongman?
Well, you obviously mentioned the obvious guys, the ones that are on the top podium. But one of my guys, my prodigy, Martins Lises,
yep.
He had won the All-American Championship twice. He got second in America's Strongest last year, and now he squashed his heat in the World's Strongest Man, won it easily, and then went into the finals, and in the finals got sixth place. So he's
awesome.
An up-and-comer. He's only 25 years old, and
yep.
He's just getting stronger by the moment, basically. He also actually happens to be the only American mass wrestling world champion. He won the absolute championship against, you know, no weight class, unlimited weight class tournament that was held at the Arnold's this year. So he is
nice.
The current mass wrestling world champion, beating the Russians.
That's awesome. One last question. We'll get right into the thinking process. Zydrunas Savickas. What do you see? I mean, you've competed for a long time and been very successful. I know he's in his late 30s, and he's been very, very successful. What do you see for him? Is he gonna? Do you think he's coming back to World's Strongest Man, or where do you see his place, say, in the next 18 to 20 months?
No, absolutely. I don't know specifically, but I know that he has been plagued with a little bit of a back injury, so his deadlifts has been down a little bit. But despite that, he won the Arnold this year, and I think he passed on the Worlds just because of that, so he can get some more time to heal. He's in great physical condition. I think he was trying to set some world record in the Arnold Hong Kong this past weekend, but I haven't seen the results from that. But I am sure he is going to come back next year, first of all, to try to win the Arnolds again, with the three for the eighth or ninth time, and also win the World's Strongest Men for, I think, the fifth time.
Yeah, I think I can't wait to see it, but I can't believe with him not there, it had to be kind of eerie, number one, but it could have been the same energy between, you know, you had Half Thor, obviously, and Brian Shaw and Zydrunas. I mean, that's a big piece of the puzzle missing, so... But Brian Shaw, I gotta give him kudos, man. You know, congratulations. The thinking process. I'm very interested because I've read things. You've made a lot of comments about that. Explain to everybody out in our audience How do you have to think? How do you train yourself to think? And what are the methods you use to get you really going with, whether it's business, obviously weightlifting, anything you're involved in? How do you approach the thinking process?
Well, first of all, I mean, the mind's got to imagine where you're going and to be able to achieve anything. You know, the physical body, so speaking about athletics and strength and sports like this, you can have all the talent but the muscles and the body goes with your body, with your brain. The brain needs to lead the way. So like, this is particularly obviously comes up with me all the time because I'm much older than everybody else that is doing this stuff. And the reality is that I don't think your muscles aren't getting that much weaker with age. It's like, as a matter of fact, you can always get stronger, I believe. But it's more about whether your mind will allow you to do that. I think the things that are limiting us is obviously one thing. Your injuries sometimes will put you back, but also just the fact that you just don't want to do it. It's motivation. So you have to be motivated if you're going to get better, get stronger, get faster. You need to be motivated.
Yep. Do you think people as they get older too? I mean, well, it's not even older people. You see this happening all over the generations. Is it we get lazy or we listen to too many detractors all the time telling us, you know, how many people are going to tell you when you're 40 years old you're finished? And is it the laziness? Is it we let people get in our head, or is it a combination of all things?
Well, I mean, it's probably a combination, but the main thing is your own mind. I think is that people, you know, depending on where you live and where and what environment you're on, people start giving up at 30. You know, at 30, I'm too old. Yeah. I can't do anything. Now it's 40. You live in California. It goes much higher than that. But the reality is that it's all in the mind. There is absolutely no reason why you can't do anything. Everything you could have done at 20 something, when you are 40 something, and 50 something, and maybe even 60 something. The thing is, some things do wear out. I mean, your body does wear out a bit. The other part is that so you lose certainly lose some of your some of your speed and some agility. But when it comes to strength, you don't lose all that much.
Yeah,
it's
no.
Really in your mind.
Let me ask you this, too. Now, you've competed in just about everything, and let's talk about anything strength-wise, strongman-wise. At what age do you feel, it doesn't matter whether it's stones, yoke, anything, what do you think was one of your best lifts at any age that we want to talk about with you now? I know you're in your mid-60s now, but where do you think you made one of your best lifts, and what age were you at?
I'm probably best in my mid-50s, I would think.
Really? Yeah. Now, did you feel that?
There's so many other factors involved. I don't feel like I'm that much limited now, though I do have some injuries that I need to get fixed. But the reality is that, your circumstances changes, your work life, what you do. Now, I remember I competed in professional strongman. I was an executive and I had a really busy schedule beside it. So for me, it was almost always a hobby, a very important hobby, but it was not like, it was not my vocation. It was an avocation for me. So I'm a little different in that sense. I probably, could have been much better, or could have been better. If all you had to do is train and take care of yourself, that's totally different from having small windows, including having kids and family at the same time too. So I think there's a lot of different things. And some of them work for you, and some work against you. I mean, sometimes you could have all the time on your hands, and you end up overdoing it as well. So
yeah. And that's the thing. You got to be careful. You got to be able to balance your life. Well, let me ask you this. I love all this stuff, especially with strongman and everything. When you're, I've been in contests, everything, stones, all that. But I want to ask you this because you've got so much experience. You're going into a World's Strongest Man. everybody approaches things different. Let's just say you competed in the Arnold 6 months before that, or anything big out, you know, in Scotland or Iceland or anything. Is your approach to something of the magnitude of WSM much different than, say, any of the other things I named, or do you think obviously differently for each one? I mean, same concept, but sometimes the stakes are higher.
Yeah, you know, well, they're quite different. World's Strongest Man is competed over, like, pretty much over multiple days, and basically over a couple of weeks if you go to the finals. And the way it's set up is that each discipline you do is essentially a separate event, because you'll be hours before next time you do an event, so you gotta do it again. So it's a little bit much more difficult to prepare for. But I would say back when I was doing it, I was competing quite often. So and the other problem obviously is that we don't really know what our events are. We don't even know where it's going to be till it's about 4 or 5 weeks out. So it's not that much you could do. But being that we know that we're going to be in it, you could do some specialized training.
Yep.
But you know, most other events, like, you know, you go and compete in the Grand Prix events, what we call them before now, in other pro events, they're basically single day events. Sometimes we do six events in 3 hours. I mean, I've both been involved in promoting pro events as well as competing in them. But we have done it when we did the Madison Square Garden back in, I don't remember, it was 2008 or 2009 or something like that. We did that. We had a little over 2 hours. We had 2.5 hours. We had 13 athletes, and we had six events, and we were able to do them all in 2 hours, and, you know, less than 2 hours, 2.5 hours. So
that's
it
awesome.
Can be done, but, you know, obviously we prepared for that. And the events are every bit as heavy as any others. So, but I think athletes, generally speaking, will rather have the events go fast, go from one to another, because then you don't really have to warm up again and re-prepare your body. It's already ready from the previous event. All you had to do is maybe just mentally refocus yourself to the different from the different events.
Absolutely. Let me. We all talk about the mind and all that here a lot, especially when you're talking about the thinking process. You've been doing this since you were a young boy. How prevalent has this type of training? We're just going to stick with strongman right now. And I know powerlifting and bodybuilding are involved. We can bring any genre in. How much was all these disciplines, and how much did they affect you? Now, you're a businessman, obviously. You're very well seasoned with business. How much do you think this played in your role of success outside of the gym?
I don't know. I mean, the attitude you learn in being in sport as you grow up, I think, just has some influence on those things. I competed in a strongman. I really did it for the last 20 years, which is, you know, I was already a mature adult when I started competing in it. Prior to that, it wasn't accessible, really. It was something you once in a while saw on TV. But in the 90s, they started showing it on TV in the U.S., you know, on ESPN and ESPN and so forth. And that's when it started taking off again and stuff like that. But when I was in my, you know, in my real youth, in my teenage years, I trained all kinds of different lifts and did all this functional type of training already then, but not you know, with the type of implements they're doing in World's Strongest Man or something like that. But my first dumbbells were made of wood.
yeah, because I've seen pictures of them. It's amazing, and I know that they used to use a lot of wood when they were filming athletes for pictures and stuff, because who's going to hold a 100-pound dumbbell over their head while they're filming you forever? I mean, it's very interesting stuff. I don't think I asked you this on the first show, and if I did, I don't mean to repeat, but I've always been interested in this with any athlete at your level. Once again, strongman, stones, anything like that. Obviously, we know you told us how the thought is, and they space things way out, and you really got to keep your wits together to succeed here. What do you think were some of the best lifts you've ever done? And I'm talking with stones, with weights, anything. I don't care if it's you're lifting anvils. What is something that you would like? I want you to brag here. I want you to tell everybody in my family here what you some of the things you're very proud of. And I want to get into two, which I know I didn't ask you this the first time. I wanted to ask you who are some of the people you admired in training way back when, the middle of your life, and today. So let's first go with what are some of the things you've done that you've excelled that you're very proud of, and I'd like you to tell everybody that.
Well, in strongman you don't keep really records, but I've had some very good truck pulls. I've beaten some of the best guys, including Marius Pusinowski when he was at his best. I beat him in truck pull, and he was always very good at it. Neither of us are that big. Usually the bigger guys do better in it, but if you have good technique, you can do very well in it. If I was going to pick one thing that I did that I feel like I couldn't repeat and I somewhat impressed myself, I was at Arnold's. I don't know how long time ago it was, but it was on the stage at Arnold's. I was challenged to lift his dumbbell. It was they were using it to press overhead, but you're using two hands and putting to the shoulder and lift overhead. And they had a bunch of people, their grip specialists, come up and try to lift it off the ground just to see if they could get the air under it. And then the MC actually challenged me to say, "Hey, can I challenge you to do this?" And he did, and I kind of thought I could get it off the ground, but I didn't think I could deadlift it. But actually, when I started lifting it, it just came right off. You know, like the audience went absolutely crazy when I went out to do it, and when I lifted it, and I have an identical dumbbell in our training facility, but it's 20 pounds lighter, and I can lift that one. But this one was 202 pounds, and I was the first one to lift it. And for me, it was actually one of those special moments where you actually were able to lift something that you probably only once in a lifetime can do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We got everybody there. That's even pushing you a little bit harder.
Handle was 3 inches thick, and the dumbbell was 202 pounds, and I had to lift it on one side of my body. We're not allowed to straddle it to lift it either, I don't know why that was. That was kind of stupid, but it didn't make any much difference. It came right up for some reason.
That was awesome.
Probably I could try it 1,000 times afterwards and probably wouldn't. It would barely get it off the ground, I would imagine.
Yeah, but, you got it the one time. That's all that matters. I mean, that's an incredible lift on a 3-inch handle, too. Let's talk about, too, and then we're going to move right into the bicep stuff. But who are some of the strength athletes Ode Hagen admires?
Well, I admire the current champions. Brian, obviously, but... I think the best ever is Sandronas. I used to compete against him and compete even with him, but of course she was young and I was old. He just kept going over, and I think now he's probably the strongest ever. Kazmaier was always impressive, and he was always great. But the problem was that we didn't have that much access to seeing all the stuff what the people were doing. But Bill was a very, very strong man.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I think he's awesome, but I'm with you. I think Zydrunas is the best. People might argue that, but for his longevity – and just a brute power, man. And, no matter what, whether he wins or loses, it's never by less than like a point or two.
Yeah.
I mean, he's right in the thick of everything, man. And I want to ask you, too, because you've seen him. I mean, I've seen a lot of video of both of these gentlemen. How strong is Brian Shaw? Now, look, I know the numbers and everything, but, you recognize people and say, without even looking at this guy move, you're like, I know this guy is the real deal. Same thing with Half Thor. What what are these guys similar in any ways? Are total, you know, 360s from each other? What do you see in Brian and Hathor that? All right, let's start with Brian first.
No, but Brian and Hathor, I would say, have some similarity in the sense that they're both very athletic.
Yep.
And came up through basketball, so they're very athletic. They're very tall, obviously, and but at the same time, very strong. But they're also smart trainers. I don't know that much about Hathor in terms of his training, but I'm sure he's getting really good advice from my good friend Magnus there.
Yep.
But Brian is a brilliant trainer when it comes to training himself and others. He analyzed everything. First time I met Brian when he competed in the All-American Strongman in L.A., and we had, I think, like 27 people competing, and only 12 was going to go on to the next day, and he got number 13th. And this was one of his, maybe his second pro contest, and he was, that was pretty... He was not happy, but he missed it, and I was seeing him, the day after playing around. I could tell that he was playing around with some dumbbells and stuff like that, and his grip was incredible as well. So I said, I'm wondering if this guy is going to be discouraged or is going to take off. Well, first phone call I got on Monday morning was from. From Brian, says, can you help me? What can I do to get best strong in this? I said, okay, we sounded good. So anyway, he's came down many times and trained with me in his very early days there. And of course, every time he competed in a competition, he did better and better and better. And if he was miserably bad in one event, believe me, he was not going to be bad in the same event the next time.
Right.
He always trained his weaknesses and not worrying about his strength. He's worrying about his weaknesses. So he's an all-round, very, very good strongman. But he's also very smart and very, very thoughtful about his training and preparation. And that's the same thing with some of the other young guys. They're taking more care of themselves. The old-timers didn't take very good care of themselves.
Yep. Do you see... I know we talked about Zydrunas, and we hope he comes back next year, which I'm sure he will. Brian won it last year too. Could he repeat again, or we never know anyways? But could he be a champion for a long, long time in your estimation?
He could. He'll certainly be competing for it for the next few years. And next year, if Zydrunas come back, it will be two guys going for the five-time titles.
Yep.
Because
yep.
Two of them are four times. But, Hathor is young and he's getting better. And I think there are a few other people. And like I mentioned, that Martins has just gotten better and better every time he's competing. And I think he will be competing for the title, certainly for the podium even next year.
That's awesome. Man, I as much as I like seeing those guys, 1, 2, 3, whatever they are, I would love to see some new guys, really start to make some noise, and it'd be pretty interesting. But you are going against the top of the tops. I mean, those three, they've been together for a long time, and they one of them always seems to hold the top spot. I guess that's what I'm trying to make. But I would be very, very happy to see somebody really causing a lot of havoc there, where somebody's going to have to come out and just put their foot down, and we're going to win the thing regardless. And that's what I enjoy about all that. It's just that whole competition. All right, I really want to talk about on the second part of the show here, bicep injuries. You've had them, I've had them, and I've read some stuff that you've written about the preparation before surgery. What you did after surgery really moved you into the driver's seat much quicker to get back to what we like to do. When you have this type of injury, we know, now we're talking thinking process, we're talking confidence, can I come back, the whole deal. All right, we're going to have surgery done. and it might not be for X number of days because you got an infinite, you don't have an infinite amount of time, but it doesn't have to be that day. What do you do at that point to begin to prepare for that surgery, Ode?
Well, the only thing you probably could do is probably putting your eyes on it at that point. There's not much you can do. It's torn and so forth like that. There's a lot of things you can do before having the injury. I mean, in my case, I actually knocked it off. It got hit. The tendon got hit and it popped off. But, many times it pops off because of dead, for lifting and so forth like that. And typically it's because people don't have flexibility. The flexibility and they always and they lift with bent arms and using the bicep when the bicep shouldn't even be used. Anybody pulling your tearing their biceps doing it like deadlift, obviously there's something wrong there. There should not be any strain on the bicep tendon if you have the flexibility. So that's the number one. After you get injured and you're going to have surgery, you're probably the best thing is to keep the swelling down and rest it. Afterwards, my philosophy is, the doctor's obviously going to want to keep you from doing anything for 6 weeks. And that's, I think, in my opinion, if you know what you're doing, is the worst thing you can do. Because then you have 6 weeks that you're going to have to start redoing all the things that you lost during those 6 weeks. So my thing was, I think as soon as I was off the drugs, which was in a day or two, I was in there squatting and started doing things with the arm very stabilized so I didn't going to hurt it. And then, within days, I started moving it. Not making sure. Sorry about the dog here.
It's okay.
Somebody at the door. That's my doorbell. So anyway, the rehab part of it is should be very active, but obviously very carefully. What we forget is that when you put the arm in a sling or any kind of immobilization of any part of your body, all the little muscles that are there that you don't even know the name of practically, goes inactive. And it deteriorates totally. So as soon as you start doing anything, they start you start getting inflamed and you get hurt because you're not taking into account that they haven't been active. So you need to be extremely, extremely careful. But do it immediately because then they never go that inactive. I swear, I never had any pain in it. And I was able to, I went in, I was supposed to be going in for physical therapy in 6 weeks after the surgery. I begged the surgeon to release me so I could go and see the physical therapist in 5 weeks. So I went in exactly 5 weeks after surgery. And at that time, he told me I was at 99.9%. He says, there's nothing I can do other than charge you money for coming here and working out. And you obviously can do it somewhere else. So, he says, you're 100%. After that, I was able to do all the stones and everything, no problem.
Well,
and I was 56 when this happened, so it wasn't like I was a young kid that healed fast. I swear, you can heal just as fast at whatever age you are doing it. It's just a matter of how you approach it and what your mind, your mindset.
Yeah, and I mean, something nowadays too. I'm sure you're very aware of this. I mean, we have a lot of people on the show that write books about the mental condition and all that. I'll tell you what. I think the best way to learn mentally about yourself, obviously, you train with good people or you go out and search for the answers. But I think there's a lot to training by yourself and really learning yourself. And I don't mean putting yourself in an unsafe position with anything, but there's such a thing as going out and giving it a shot and seeing where you can go with it. And I think a lot of people, and I just think there's too many people out looking for other people to give them the answers and not go out and really do the work. And it's a lot easier to do it that way. And if you fail and you're not really into it, well, then you just throw your arms up in the air and say, hey, I read this. Everybody said it was great. It didn't help me out. I don't know where I'm going to go from there. And I see that more and more with a lot of these mental self-help books, where I think some of the best education you get is you got to go out and you got to train it, you got to learn it, you got to play it. You know, you got to be safe to a point, but you got to be daring and willing to go after something no matter what. And that's all I ask you. There's so much out there now. What do you feel is like one of the best ways? Is it best to, you know, when they say to you, how do you get stronger overhead? Well, the answer is press, keep pressing. What do you think with the mental thing? Is it good to go out and learn yourself, to go out and do things, and then start building your mental tenacity? What's your feeling on that?
Well, I don't know what you can mentally learn from other people, but obviously the physical part here, obviously you can learn from anybody. Everybody has some different things, and you're looking at what other people are doing, and there's never too late to learn something new about training and about how to do it. But obviously, if you're going to get better in overhead, you had to do overhead lifting, but and that involves pressing, but it also involves doing, in strongman, pressing means that you are making a very inefficient lift. You need to jerk the weight overhead, obviously.
Yep.
So you have to learn technique, and you can learn from weightlifters, you can work from other strongmen. But the important thing is that everybody has different physical limitations as well as to how they do things. But I would think that if you had somebody like Sandronas, he is the greatest in overhead lifter when it comes to how much weight he can lift. But he's really pressing the weight overhead. If he actually he took some time, and he's lifting just as bad as he did when he was younger too. He was the same technique. He was like no technique. He's just pressing, and sometimes pressing off balance and everything. But if you purely look at it, he could probably lift 50 pounds more, maybe 100 pounds more than he's lifting if he actually learned how to do it properly.
Yeah, it's brute strength in it is great to have that, but you're right. Technique, it's just like Olympic lifting, technique. You have to have technique to do that too, because eventually you're going to run out and you're not going to be able to just brutalize something over your head, clean and jerk, snatch, whatever it is. What's real interesting, though, is I want to ask you, we said already, I understand you're not lifting something correctly, but why is it now? It seems like every time I'm reading, it could be a well-known athlete. I know friends of mine, et cetera, et cetera. Why so many bicep tears now?
I don't know if it's any worse than before. I mean, there's always been a lot of people doing that. And I think that a lot of people come from to a gym training where they're doing a lot of bicep work, and you see people training in a gym, they're doing even bench pressing, they don't lock out their elbows.
Yeah.
People doing partial lifts, there's place and time and place for a partial lift, but, make sure that you have enough flexibility to keep your arms straight, and don't try to crimp up on the bar in a deadlift. A deadlift is you're lifting with your hip and back,
not with your arms. Right. What do you feel? I've never asked you this. Do you feel that you should work the bicep directly? And if so, what is one movement that you would use to keep the not only the flexibility in the bicep but the strength in the muscle belly?
Well, I mean, any bicep curl would do. I mean, it's one of the exercises I do the least of. But of course, when I grew up, I do a lot of it. So I'm living off of having pretty big biceps from having done it before. But it's obviously for strongmen, it's not a very important movement. But you got to do some of it. You got to be prepared. I mean, you got to prepare, do some high rep stuff, and do things that prepare your tendons. You can't just be lifting heavy stuff all the time.
Yeah, I agree, because if you're gonna go that route, you're definitely gonna get an injury. And that is when I when that happened with me, that was like one of the biggest pain in the butts that you could, you know, to have your arm immobilized in a cast, and it's like all I want to do is cut the damn cast off me. I mean, it was just like, but, you know, we were screwing around. You know, you break those stitches open and you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. But I understand what you're saying. It's very hard for when you're used to doing things like that to kind of, you know, you know, your PT, let it heal, and you're sitting on the couch waiting to roll. That's where a lot of guys, I think, get in trouble. I've only got a couple more questions, but the next thing is this. Where do you see – well, first thing is, you know, we're talking about the thinking process with everything and the ability to be able to go in these big meets and survive. Do you see the athlete now? I mean, now you and definitely Brian Shaw is definitely a thinking athlete from what, you know, you've said to me today. Is that going to become more and more prevalent with this stuff? And I want to explain this fully. You know, we're seeing all different things in World's Strongest Man now. I think they're just going to keep going bigger and bigger. Maybe not. But, you know, everybody wants to see heavier and heavier. And obviously the athlete has got to be very well conditioned and super strong to endure this. Do you see that happening more and more now with the are most people even – let's just say it's the three of them. Let's just say Zydrunas, Thor, and Brian Shaw. Is it going to come down at some point where – and maybe it all is now – but is it going to come to a point now you're going to have to program yourself and be able to reprogram yourself during an event where you might be a half a point behind, or you want to just take this thing fully? Is this going to be something we're going to see happening more and more with the mental edge with everything?
I'm not quite sure you're getting that, but I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't think that the size of the athletes now, of course, are pretty much on the average 50, 60 pounds heavier than they were like 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago. The World's Strongest Men up through year 2000, only one person that had won the World's Strongest Men, and that was a 7-foot guy from Van der Par from Holland that won in the early 90s, I think. He was over significantly over 300 pounds, and then The original World Strongest Men back in the late 70s, where there was big fat powerlifters that won it. Yep. But other than that, I think the most of the winners have been like 300 pounds and less. You know, Yoko Holo was basically 250.
Yeah, absolutely.
He never went over 260. They may say that he was 265, but that was like at his very, very heaviest.
Yeah, I don't think he was that heavy.
Right. So I know these guys personal, so I know how big they are. But anyway, I think very possible still for people at the 300-pound level to win the World's Strongest Men, because it's all about strength and ability. But, you know, these guys that are almost 7 foot tall, I mean, they can carry a lot of weight.
Yeah,
if you're 6 foot three, 6 foot four, 6 foot four, you should probably stay in a 300-pound range. There's really no reason to be that big. The only one that I can think of is that big is our friend from England, Eddie Hall, and he is he's like 6 foot one or 6 foot two maybe, but 6 foot one at the most, maybe even only 6 foot. I don't know. But he is very big. But, you know, I think it's unlikely that he will ever win the World's Strongest Man.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, though. Could a guy like a Hola, let's just say at his biggest he was 264, 265. I've had this argument with a lot of people in all different genres of strongman. They say a guy like that could never win in today's world. What do you think?
No, I mean, well.
Too small?
You wouldn't take it away from a Hola, but... the Ahola today is a 300-pound guy.
Okay, there you go.
And I definitely think they can do it. And you're thinking about, you even had what's his name from Lala's from Lithuania winning the Arnolds at he's 5'10", but of course he's like way 320, but still he's one of the biggest humans I've ever seen, really, because, I mean, there's so much muscles on a 5'10" frame that it's amazing. But I think that people that will win the World's Strongest Man could be definitely the 300, 350, 310, 320, easily. You can see they compete really well. There are some really good guys coming up. Like I said, Martin, I'm of course pushing Martins, and then there's Mateusz Klitschkaus or something like that from Poland that got third in the Arnolds a couple of years ago, but he's only like 24 years old, I think. And he's just an amazing athlete. He just still don't have quite the deadlift that he needs to win the big contest, but he is a very, very great athlete. There was a new guy that made fourth in the world this year from Georgia. He's a giant of a man too. I don't know how tall he is, but he's quite large and very good and brand new to this. So all the new people. There are a lot of new people.
And that's exciting. And, you know, if you can come in at a 300-pounder and win, I think that makes it more exciting because, you know, it's not that I don't like seeing who's up there right now, but it'd be pretty interesting to see a 300-pounder come in and just wipe it right out. I mean, I know they're going to be tight with points and everything, but it'd be very interesting because that's what I was going to ask you. The last question was this, and you pretty much answered it, but I was going to say, how do you see strongman going? I mean, the athletes right now that are winning are gigantic. Is this a trend for right now? And I know everybody you've said that's coming up, you know, they're not 6'9", weighing 430. Are we going to start seeing a different athlete winning, you think, or are we going to keep seeing that size guy coming in?
Well, I mean, that size guy has a big advantage, obviously. He's already so big and strong from the get-go, but I think that the fact that you see people that are competitive, that are much smaller, it tells you that, you know, it depends on who has the most desire and the background. And I think there are people currently, like both the Mateusz and like Martins, that are more the normal size, the 300-pounders, have both the athleticism and ability to be strong enough to win the World's Strongest Man.
Absolutely.
And without being 350, 300, 400 pounds.
Yeah, not only that, they might live a lot longer too. You know, that's the thing when you're carrying that weight for so long. But you know something, everybody's got their own way of doing things. And I just like the excitement of seeing different athletes really showing their stuff, and I hope now we've got some newcomers. You know, next year it's a whole different game. Ode, anything you got to add? Summarize anything? Give us, like I said, all the websites. Anything you got coming up? I'll give out my information if you'd hang on the line.
Go like us on Facebook, Moss Wrestling USA.
Okay.
And the training hall. And the training hall by Eddie Hogan on Facebook.
Okay. Anything else?
No, that's good.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Also, strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. Also, go out to motivationandmuscle.com/category/podcast. And you can go out and look for anybody out there, you know, whether it's Mike Gillette, Ode Hagen, it's Dr. Bob Weil, James Fuller, you name it, they're out there. Jed Johnson, we got them every place. Bill Hinburn, go out and check out all those shows we've done. We just posted our 500th show last week, which is phenomenal because most podcasts are lucky if they last 90 days. We're knocking on the door 2 years, and we're getting bigger and bigger, more people. It's just the best stuff out there. So check all that out. FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. We thank everybody for that. Don't forget, we are streaming now 24/7 just as a radio internet show. And you can catch us out on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Shoutcast, and if you have the ability to listen it to you in your car, AHA Radio. That's AHA. Also, too, if someone seeks you out in the gym or out in the concrete jungle, never be afraid to help them out. Give them words of encouragement. Five words can change your life. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or offer them a smile. That might be all they're going to get that day. If you're going to go out and lift it, bend it, break it, push it, pull it, squat it, and if you're going to lift stones, turn them right into dust. And as our Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in blood red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's path. And we always say dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. And as Russell Furr says, who's been listening to Motivation Muscle from the beginning, who's a guest on here too, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping through my speakers. All I can say is that was one of the nicest things, because that's one of the things we love here, building manly men. We will say that for the next 30 years. And I believe we got everything. Oh, thank you. It's been an honor and a pleasure to have you on Motivation and Muscle, sir.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Before we sign off, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by and tell 100 of your friends, because we're coming for you. And as my father always said when we were young kids, be a leader, not a follower. And I thank my father every day for just those words, among many others. So, for Ode Hagen, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. We will get this gentleman back on, because as I've said, I'm trying to get all these guys that have seen things, because I want to have recorded everything we can, because that knowledge is very hard to find nowadays. So everybody, have a great week, and we will talk to you soon. And thanks for
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.